got my eyes on you. You're everything that I see. I want your high love and emotion endlessly. I can't get over you. Well, welcome back to 770 Afternoons. I'm Danielle Smith, guest hosting. You're listening to News Talk 770. We are going to talk about websites. Now, I know this may sound like it's a little bit archaic in all the exciting new social media that we have out there, but in fact, if you're in the middle of a federal election campaign, where are you going to go to find out about your local candidate? And what needs to be on that website to give meaningful information to a voter so as they're making up their mind about where to cast their ballot? Now, unfortunately, not all political websites are created equal. Some of them are better than others. Some of them are existent and some of them are non-existent. And maybe that's because there are not a lot of people who are expecting the election call on Sunday. But we will see a flurry of activity over the next little while as candidates get chosen and as they start their social media presence. But the one thing that they shouldn't forget, according to my next guest, is they shouldn't forget the importance of having a very good website. Joining me now is Jeremy Hexham. He's a doctoral student at the University of Calgary. He specializes in this whole political realm, campaigns and political advertising. And he joins me now in studio. Thanks for being here, Jeremy.
Thank you for having me, Daniel.
Okay, so I am probably a bad offender when it comes to this. I always looked at a personal website is a bit of an afterthought. If anyone actually goes onto my social media profile right now, they'll see that I'm still advertising the URL for my website, daniellesmith.ca. I will start it up again one day, but I have put far more use and time into Twitter. That's my number one method of communicating with the public. And Facebook is, I'm just beginning to learn how to use Facebook. It's number two. So is that fairly usual that you're finding for politicians, is that they're now leaning more heavily on those interactive media, Twitter and Facebook, and moving away from the websites?
Yes, exactly. A lot of people are forgetting about the websites and going to the Twitters and the Facebooks. But you also have to realize there's a lot of people who don't go to those sites. I mean, what's the problem with Twitter? Well, if you want to find out what someone said, you have to scroll down. It takes forever to find information. Same comments can be made about Facebook. They don't have the information right there. When you're a candidate and you're an individual just looking to get to information, just wanting to get information about your candidate, you don't want to be going to Facebook. You don't want to be going to Twitter. You want the information now and then, and you don't want to be doing all the searching.
Let's talk about the advantages of those other medium first before we switch gears talking about websites. What would be some of the positives about using Twitter? If you're thinking about Twitter as a vehicle to campaign, what is the way that you should be using Twitter properly?
Well, Twitter, you should be using it actually as a two-way communication stream, which, other than Nenshi, there's not a lot of politicians who really use it well. They usually do it to send out one message and, you know, blast message out and hope people come somewhere else to do it.
I have to say, that's what I've heard is the biggest complaint about politicians, is that they use Twitter as a broadcast tool as opposed to an interactive tool.
And they don't usually do it themselves. It's usually staff members who do it. There was a complaint a couple weeks ago about somebody referring to Stephen Harper's Twitter account, saying, does Stephen Harper really tweet, or is it one of his staff members who is doing the tweeting? So who's doing it? I worked on a campaign where we used the candidate's name, and the candidate didn't know how to use Twitter. He sent one tweet in the office while learning how to the basics of it. And so who's sending it? I know there was another case a couple years ago where a liberal sent out a tweet. A conservative responded to the tweet. The liberal campaign sent a nasty tweet back, and the conservative sent a tweet back saying, who is this? This candidate knows me personally, would never say this. So there are some issues with what you can say with Twitter.
And can I say also about Twitter, though, when you're on the receiving end as a politician, Twitter can be terrifying. When you've got tweeters like Kiki Planet and Marty Chan and Politics, these are guys who are really sharp with the hashtags, and they can be pretty brutal. And I think that may be part of the reason why politicians have moved away from engaging on Twitter.
One person I spoke to just recently said Twitter is the angry man's communication medium. And you do get a lot of that. You get a lot of people who are saying extremely nasty things about politicians. The Liberal leader in BC, the Premier, Christy Clark, got some very nasty tweets about a year ago. Language that cannot be used on air.
Yeah.
I know that you
I've seen
had
a little bit of that. Just to clarify on Kiki Planet and Marty Chan,
and politics. They are of the humor side. What they try to do, they're not the angry man. They are the funny tweeters, but they are still very fierce and, I think, terrifying from a political perspective. Let me ask you about Facebook.
Yes.
Because I, again, I'm still just learning how to use Facebook, and I'm not, if I was a candidate, when should you use Facebook, and when is Facebook a good campaign tool?
Well, Facebook, you have to realize that all of these things are tools, just like lawn signs are tools, door knocking are tools, brochures are tools. You have to use them as such. And when you put all your effort into that, you get people lost, because not everyone wants to go on Twitter. I was having dinner with my neighbors a couple days ago and some of their friends. They're in their 30s. And none of them used Facebook or Twitter.
Wow.
And my jaw just hit the ground.
And you're younger than me. You're that generation.
Yeah, well, we're the same generation, but they're younger than me. And they said they were caught in that bubble that never got into Facebook and Twitter, and so they never used it. And so when you have this one politician, Darshat Kang, who's running in Calgary Skyview, who's got a website, who's got no information on his website whatsoever, yet he's using Facebook, and he's got his address and phone number and email, everything on Facebook, nothing on the website.
Let me tell you what I like about Facebook. And it's coupled with Instagram, although I have to tell you, I don't go on Instagram myself. But Facebook allows you to put some fantastic pictures up. And so if you're interactive and you want to show where you are, what you're doing with people, showing up at an event, it's also something that you can do from your phone. So if you're a candidate that wants a little bit of control over your profile and your image, it allows you to immediately do that, where it can be a little bit more complicated to do it on a website. But is that the other part about Facebook is that it has a sharing and advertising function that can actually cause images to go with quite a broad reach. Now, I don't know how successful that is for the average candidate, but those would be a couple of things that interactivity and that social media web is one of the other things that I think Facebook can do particularly well.
Yes, and I mean, you want to put pictures up on your website as well, and three candidates, Nirmalai Naidu, Cam Stewart, and Kent Hare have been very good at including photographs in their websites. Three of the Liberal candidates actually have Flickr accounts where they are putting up those photographs. So, yes, you still have that, and you can, of course, put them up on Facebook and Twitter if you want. But, again, not everyone's going to go there. And
yeah.
So you have to look at what tool you're using and who you're trying to reach and what the grouping is.
Okay, we are going to try to find some good candidate websites after the break. Stay with me. I'm talking with Jeremy Hexham about the vital role that websites play in political communication now that we're in the middle of a federal election campaign, and also a bit of an analysis about how the parties are doing. But I have to take a quick break now. Stay with me. We'll be back very shortly on News Talk 770. And welcome back to News Talk 770. I'm talking with Jeremy Hexham, a doctoral student at the University of Calgary. And I should fully disclose, I think my very first website that I established as an advocacy group was one that Jeremy Hexham designed way back in 1997, when the interweb was a new thing. So he has stayed with his analysis of websites, and he's joined me now to talk about how our candidates in Calgary are doing. So let's start with one that you're thinking is not so great. And this is an NDP website. We're going to go through all three major parties, but it's an NDP website for Danny Allard. And if anybody wants to follow along and get the analysis, you can see what he likes and he doesn't like. Type in Danny, and it's spelled D-A-N-Y, Allard, A-L-L-A-R-D, into the Google, and it will pop up on the very first try, at the very first find, his website. Now, what I notice is interesting about it, though, is if you click through to it, it doesn't go to his home page, it goes to his about page. Now, I don't know, is that a mistake or is that clever?
I think it's a mistake, but it depends how they've set it up and what Google's looking for. I mean, I've done websites where we want the main page to show up, and the main page has never shown up. So it's how you're putting in your terms, how much money you're willing to spend, and different people want to do things. Now, I should say with the NDP, there's only two candidates have been nominated so far.
Okay.
And only one of the two of them have a website. So when we pick on Danny Allard, we have no choice on who we're using here.
Sorry, Danny, it's not personal.
It's
just
personal.
You're the only one that we can look at in Calgary.
Which is really good. good.
So let's talk about his website. What do you like about it?
I like how colorful it is. I like it's got some great buttons. You know, he's got his name there. He's got a great banner. The banner with his photograph, I think, is a little too big because you have to start scrolling down to get to information. People want to get to the information right away. This website doesn't have anything about him on the main page or his policies or his community involvement.
Right.
But he does have some nice buttons right at the bottom of the screen where you can donate, where you can volunteer, you can take a sign, you can sign up for email updates, and you can contact him. And he's got his basic contact form here. Unfortunately, he doesn't have an address or a phone number or a direct email you can contact him with directly, which would be nice. But, you know, it's colorful, it's got to the point, and you can enjoy it. And he does have, you know, on that page, he has a list of upcoming events. He's got an event on August 8th, the town hall, which is really great to have. And he's got some really big tweets at the bottom of the page. But again, with this page, you're constantly scrolling down to get the things. You don't want to be scrolling that much. You want to get your information. You want some, you know, a nice little 250 to 500-word introduction about who you are and your policies, and people can go further into the website if they want.
Okay, well, and what is interesting about this website, and I suspect we'll see this with a number of them, is that it doesn't preclude using things like Twitter and Facebook, but what you do is you embed those profiles into your main website, but the website becomes the portal to get to the other things as opposed to those other mechanisms of being able to communicate
exactly,
with the public.
Exactly, and that's what you want.
Okay, let's go on now to the Conservatives. Now, I had a little bit of trouble typing in Michelle Rempel and finding her website. I went to it, but it looks like it's being down for a reconstruction. So what is the best way to be able to find your Conservative MP?
Well, one way, of course, is through Twitter or through Google, as you've mentioned. One way, of course, is through the flyers and brochures that people drop off, which people will probably be getting inundated with over the number of days of this campaign. And, of course, the best way is to go to the main party websites and look for the team members and list them there. Now, the Liberals have done a really good job. Every candidate who has got a website also has a biography, a mini biography of about 200 words on the main site. The Conservatives just list them, and of the Conservatives who are running, only 4 out of 10 of them actually have websites.
Isn't that something?
And the neat thing about Michelle Rempel, Michelle, her actual, she has an actual URL, which I think is re-elect-michelle-rempel.ca or something really long like that. But the actual website she's using gets redirected to cpcnosehill.ca. So she's actually using the constituency website to host her website, and I think that's a brilliant strategy to put that in.
So because that allows people to get to the same website through multiple different searches, is that part of the reason why you think that redirecting is good?
I think it's a very smart way to do it, too, because if you're giving out, if the Constituency Association is using that website as their main website for the entire, you know, 4 years up to election, 5 years up to election, and that's how people find it. It's a brilliant way of, you know, reminding people it's there and then still using that re-elect Michelle Rempel to get people on the brochures to come to the website.
So Michelle Rempel, of course, is the candidate for Calgary Nose Hill. She's our she's the elected MP from that area. Go on, and she's got a beautiful picture right off at the top. It comes up full screen with her and the Prime Minister looking like they're flipping some pancakes during the Stampede Barbecue. And she also has, I notice, the ability to subscribe right away, right up front. Do you recommend that?
Well, I am not a big fan of the Conservative websites. Yes, it's a nice big picture, but if you're not completely familiar with websites, you might think that's all there is to it.
Right.
You don't scroll down. Yes, it's a great photograph, and you know, you've got the Facebook and the Twitter right there and the subscribe, but you have to start scrolling down. And Michelle's page is about 8 to 10 screens to get to everything. And if you scroll down, the next screen is about Join Team Rempel, where you have volunteer and spread the word with lots of white space, and you have to scroll down again for subscribe to the mailing updates and then help re-elect Michelle. And you keep scrolling down for her brief biography. She does say keep reading and has a page where there is another biography about her. The latest news does fit on one screen. So you're doing a lot of scrolling and there's a lot of wasted space. And I think it's a very, to some people who are really familiar with websites and like this, this is great. To some people, I think they'd find it very frustrating.
It's interesting because I would always have thought that it's too much trouble to ask people to try to click through to get to the different pages to find what information they're seeking. With this page, you can, if you've got the time, scroll down and you can pretty well see anything that you might be looking for. So I can see that there'd be some value in doing it this way. What would you recommend to be able to change the format for this website?
Well, this website, I would say, have a banner that's about one-third of the page.
Yeah.
And then you have your menu bar right below it. And have a little the first page, your entry page, should be simple, get people's attention. So she just needs to have a 250 to 500-word introduction of who she is, and the policies and what she's standing for, and have the hyperlinks so people can click through. People do like clicking to these other websites, and that's what people have shown when I've spoken to people. That's what they always want, is that clickable website.
Okay, let's go. Now, you've already expressed your bias because you think that the Liberals have some good websites. You've mentioned Kantara, but let's take a look at Nirmala Naidu, who is running for the Liberals in Calgary Rocky Ridge. Of course, you'll remember Nirmala's name because she, for a long time, was the television host on Global Calgary, and then, of course, moved over to CBC Calgary. She's now running for the Liberals in Calgary Rocky Ridge. So if you go on to her website, what immediately strikes you, and why do you like this website?
Well, I like her website for what it stands for, how it's all the information. When you look at it, she's got a big photograph, which I don't like, but it's a nice, clean website. You have the banner, you have your menu items right underneath, and then you have a left-hand column with information that you're looking for. She has that big photograph, which takes away, but when you go down, she does get to her biography. Now, there's another biography under Nirmala, which is a lot bigger. This biography is about 200 words. Under Meet Nirmala, she has a 540-word bio, which goes into a lot more detail.
So you recommend that? So give somebody a quick little bite of information at the beginning, so if they don't go deeper, they at least get the the broad brushstrokes of what you're about, but then also give them something more, so if they want to learn a little more about you, they can go to another page.
Yes. You want to give little bites, and then people let them explore and learn more as it goes along.
And you can see as well that she's done the same thing. She's got lots of ways to get in touch through, it looks like, Instagram, through Twitter, and through Facebook. But it doesn't look like she actually does the live stream of anything that she's posting on Facebook or Twitter. What's your recommendation on that? Should you do it or should you not do it?
It depends on how comfortable you are with that technology. If you're not comfortable, don't use it. If you're great with it, do it. Kent Hare is very comfortable with it, and he doesn't. He has great time doing it.
Yeah.
Other candidates don't do it. Some of the candidates do have a stream on the website, but it's coming right out of the Liberal Party because they're not doing it themselves.
Okay, so let's talk about the big debate. This happens in political parties because there are content junkies like you who look at a website as being about information. And then there are campaign managers, like my former campaign manager, William McBeth, said, no. It's about getting activists to sign up and do stuff. Get them to punch a button to donate, punch a button to volunteer, punch a button to get a lawn sign. What's your view? Can you have them dual purpose? Is it the case that when you're putting together a website, you have to have one or the other goal in mind? Or are they complementary? Can you have both?
They're complementary, but that's the big argument in political communications. What do? Some people want just that. Some people want just that. A website goes to everybody. You're not targeting a specific audience. You're targeting everybody. So you want to have all that information, and it has to be really well organized so it doesn't get totally confusing and people get lost all over the place. You want to have those buttons so that people get involved. You want people to sign up. You want people to be able to have a form where they can say, yes, I want to volunteer. These are the times I can volunteer, and this is what I can do. Don't bother me the rest of the time. Because there are people like that. There are other people who say, I'm available all the time. Get me involved. I just want to be there. You want people who might say, I'll give $20 and that's my involvement in the election campaign. Don't bother me again. Don't call me. We have all of that happening, of course.
Well, if it's such an important multi-purpose vehicle for communicating, why does it seem that it's treated as a bit of an afterthought for local candidates? I know that central parties spend a lot of effort on their main communication piece, but you do have it surprises me often that you don't have a consistent look and feel between different candidates. And it surprises me that you don't have the same emphasis from one candidate to the next, even if they're in the same political party. If it's so important, maybe you should give a pitch. First of all, tell us why it's treated as an afterthought, and then tell us why it shouldn't be treated as an afterthought.
Well, I'm not entirely sure why it's treated like an afterthought. I think it's maybe people think it's hard to update and they don't want to do it. And the media hype is, oh, everyone has to be on Facebook, everyone has to be on Twitter. I mean, I've been following political websites for 15 years now, and I've seen the evolution of, you know, people say you should have it, then they sort of drop websites and went to Facebook and thinking that would be the end all and be all. And then Twitter came on the scene, and all of a sudden that was the end all and be all. And I now think people are realizing it's, then you're right. A lot of in a lot of campaigns in elections, every candidate has a different website, and they're all over the place.
Yeah.
The thing that is nice about both the Conservative websites in Calgary and the Liberal website, the Conservatives have two different designs, the Liberals have one standard design, and the nice thing about these websites is you can actually add to them. Kent Hare has an endorsement tab as well as a video tab. Nirmala Naidu also has a video tab on her menu bar, whereas some of these other candidates don't have anything. They just have the basic information.
Yep.
And having it does add some credibility and some standardization to your actual campaign and makes everyone have the same look and feel.
Well, Jared, thanks so much for being with me to talk about this.
No problem.
Appreciate your time. Hopefully we'll be able to check in on you again as these candidates end up getting more candidates are going to listen to this segment and they're going to say, gee, I need to put more emphasis on getting my website up. So we will have more to analyze next time you're on.
There's just one thing I want to add, Daniel.
Yeah.
None of these websites, none of them have an election date on them. And this is a confusing election as it is. People don't know when it is. They're barely thinking about it. Put the date somewhere prominently on the website.
And that date will be October the 19th. Even though it's a very long election cycle, we all know the day. Thanks again for being with me this afternoon. Stay with me. I do have another quick break I need to take, but we will be back very shortly on News Talk 770. Breaking my back just to know your name. 17 tracks and I've had it with this game. And welcome back to News Talk 770. I'm Danielle Smith, guest hosting. Well, that was interesting. I do have a couple of listeners who've commented because I think they feel the same way that my last guest, Jeremy Hexham, felt. Is why is everybody all excited about the fancy newfangled social media stuff? What this caller said from Calgary is, why do you love the big brand names like Twitter and Facebook but hate good old-fashioned generic email? I think good old-fashioned generic email is fantastic. I think what Jeremy was suggesting is that you still need a communication tool to broadcast your message. And the very best place to do that is a well-crafted, well-designed website. So we'll see a number of those as we go forward over this campaign.